"How many guys have you got?" Reacher asked. "Just what's here?" Groom shook his head again. "We're the A-team, like senior NCOs. Then there's a Rolodex full of B-team squad members. We took 100 guys to Iraq." "Is that where you've been? Iraq?" "And Colombia, and Panama, and Afghanistan. We go anywhere Uncle Sam needs us."
"What about where Uncle Sam doesn't need you?"
Nobody spoke. "My guess is the Pentagon pays by check," Reacher said. "But there seems to be an awful lot of cash around here, too." No response. "Africa?" Reacher asked. No response. "Whatever," Reacher said. "Not my business where you've been. All I need to know is where Mrs. Lane has been for the last couple of weeks." "What difference does that make?" Kowalski asked. "There was some surveillance," Reacher said. "Don't you think? I don't suppose the bad guys were just hanging out at Bloomingdale's every day on the off chance."
"Mrs. Lane was in the Hamptons," Gregory said, "with Jade most of the summer. They only came back 3 days ago."
"Who drove them back?"
"Taylor."
"And then they were based here?"
"Correct."
"Anything happen out in the Hamptons?"
"Like what?" Groom asked.
"Like anything unusual? Anything out of the ordinary?"
"Not really." "A woman showed up at the door one day," Gregory said.
"What kind of a woman?"
"Just a woman. She was fat."
"Fat?"
"Kind of heavy," said. "About 40. Long hair, center part. Mrs. Lane took her walking on the beach. Then the woman left. I figured it was a friend on a visit."
"Ever saw her before?"
Gregory shook his head.
"Might be no friend from the past."
"What did Mrs. Lane and Jade do after they got back here to the city?"
"I don't think they did anything yet." "No, she went out once," Groom said. "Mrs. Lane, I mean, not Jade. On her own, shopping. I drove her."
"Where?"
"Staples."
"The office supply store?"
Reacher had seen them all over. A big chain. Red and white decor. Huge places full of stuff he had no need of.
"What did she buy?"
"Nothing," Groom said. "I waited 20 minutes on the curb and she didn't bring anything out."
"Maybe she arranged a delivery," Gregory said.
"She could have done that online. No need to drag me out in the car."
"So maybe she was just browsing," Gregory said.
"Weird place to browse," Reacher said. "Who does that?"
"School is back soon," Groom said. "Maybe Jade needed stuff.
In which case, she'd have gone along."
"Don't you think?"
"And she'd have bought something."
"Did she take something in?" Gregory asked. "Maybe she was returning something. She had her tote. It's possible."
Then Groom looked up beyond Reacher's shoulder. Edward Lane was back in the room. He was carrying a large leather duffel and struggling with its bulk.
$5 million, Reacher thought. "So that's what it looks like."
Lane dropped the bag on the floor at the entrance to the foyer. It thumped down on the hardwood and settled like the carcass of a small, fat animal.
"I need to see a picture of Jade," Reacher said.
"Why?"
"Because you want me to pretend I'm a cop, and pictures are the first things cops want to see."
"Bedroom," Lane said. So Reacher fell in behind him and followed him to a bedroom. It was another tall, square space, painted a chalky off-white, as serene as a monastery and as quiet as a tomb. There was a cherry wood king-sized bed with pencil posts at the corners, matching tables at each side. A matching armoire that might have held a television set. A matching desk with a chair standing in front of it and a framed photograph sitting on it. The photograph was a 10x8, rectangular, set horizontal, not vertical, on the axis that photographers call landscape, not portrait. But it was a portrait. That was for sure. It was a portrait of two people. On the right was Kate Lane. It was the same shot as in the living room print. The same pose. The same eyes, the same developing smile. But the living room print had been cropped to exclude the object of her affection, which was her daughter, Jade. Jade was on the left of the bedroom picture.
Her pose was a mirror image of her mother's. They were about to look at each other, love in their eyes, smiles about to break out on their faces like they were sharing a private joke. In the picture, Jade was maybe 7 years old. She had long, dark hair, slightly wavy, as fine as silk. She had green eyes and porcelain skin. She was a beautiful kid. It was a beautiful photograph.
"May I?" Reacher asked.
Lane nodded, said nothing. Reacher picked the picture up and looked closer. The photographer had caught the bond between mother and child perfectly and completely. Quite apart from the similarity in appearance, there was no doubt about their relationship. No doubt at all. They were mother and daughter. But they were also friends. They looked like they shared a lot. It was a great picture.
"Who took this?" Reacher asked.
"I found a guy downtown," Lane said.
"Quite famous.
Very expensive."
Reacher nodded. Whoever the guy was, he was worth his fee. Although the print quality wasn't quite as good as the living room copy. The colors were a little less subtle, and the contours of the faces were a little plastic. Maybe it was a machine print. Maybe Lane's budget hadn't run to a custom handprint where his stepdaughter was concerned.
"Very nice," Reacher said.
He put the photograph back on the desk, quietly. The room was totally silent. Reacher had once read that the Dakota was the most soundproof building in New York City. It had been built at the same time that Central Park was landscaped. The builder had packed 3 feet of excavated Central Park clay and mud between the floors and the ceilings. The walls were thick, too. All that mass made the building feel like it was carved from solid rock.
Which must have been a good thing, Reacher figured, back when John Lennon lived here.
"Okay," Lane said. "Seen enough? You mind if I check the desk?"
"Why?"
"It's Kate's, right?"
"Yes, it is."
"So it's what the cops would do."
Lane shrugged, and Reacher started with the bottom drawers. The left-hand drawer held boxes of stationery and notepaper, and cards engraved simply with the name Kate Lane. The right-hand drawer was fitted with file hangers, and the contents related exclusively to Jade's education. She was enrolled at a private school 9 blocks north of the apartment. It was an expensive school, judging by the bills and the canceled checks. The checks were all drawn on Kate Lane's personal account. The upper drawers held pens and pencils, envelopes, stamps, self-stick return address labels, a checkbook, and credit card receipts. But nothing very significant. Nothing recent. Nothing from Staples, for instance.